Arizona's Afternoon News with Mac and Gatos. The Big Four at Four.
Big Four at Four.
Four at Four.
Four big and blockbuster stories that you need to hear.
Big Story One.
This is a child, a six-year-old girl, who's memorized the number of her aunt. They tracked down the aunt, and the aunt could not come and claim that little girl because she is also living in the shadows, has her own child, and would put the entire family at risk.
One of the many stories we're hearing out of this just atrocious policy by Trump, where there are children being separated by their parents. So we got a six-year-old girl crying. We have the audio. It's brutal. It's hard to listen to. We need to play it so you know what's going on. With this story, she was obviously separated from her parents, and she wanted to call her aunt, and she kept asking, can I call my aunt? Can I call my aunt? All right, well, her aunt is here illegally, and that's not going to happen. She's not going to come and get the little girl, so the little girl stays in a little cage. She's all by herself, and mom is not there. Just terrible.
She's not alone. She's with many other children
yeah.
that maybe don't know a phone number or don't know how to contact family members. But where is this policy going? Well, there's a former ICE director who says the federal government is not prepared to take care of these children. And one of the, I guess, consequences of this policy is something that the president probably didn't forecast.
If they don't reunite these kids with their parents right away, what can happen is the kids will be stuck here in the United States for years, guardians will be appointed, and the parent will be down in Honduras or Guatemala with no idea where their child is and no meaningful way to reunite.
So that's the former acting director of ICE.
And that means these kids are here permanently. If mom and dad are in another country and have no way to figure out how to contact American authorities to find their kids, or if the American authorities have no way to find mom and dad, guess what? They become orphans. They are orphans, and we have to take care of them. So Donald Trump is essentially taking kids and making them orphans, whether it be for a couple of weeks, a couple of months, or permanently. Because of this policy, it makes no sense.
And they keep doubling down on it. I don't know. Is doubling? Can you only double down if it's two times? Because he's triple dog dared people to do something and try and fix it. Here's the bottom line, and some of you just don't want to hear it. And I'm sorry, but you know, facts matter. There is no democratic law on the books that Trump is following. He says it over and over again. The guy's lying. Listen, he's just lying to you. There is no democratic law. There never was. There's no democratic law that says families have to be separated at the border. This is a Trump policy.
And he could change his mind.
He doesn't need
today.
Congress. Yes, he does. Now, he's been meeting with Congress. He's been meeting with, I guess.
No, he's been meeting with top Republican officials from the House.
And
he's
House trying, officials. Got it.
Yeah,
all right, Republicans.
And they're trying to figure out, okay, what do you need? He says he'll sign any bill that comes his way that gets approval from the House and Senate. I don't believe him because we all know what he truly wants. He wants funding for a wall. So
right.
As long as there's no funding mm-hmm. in a bill, this continues to go on, and that little six-year-old girl may never see her family again, and we will have to take care of her, which is another political problem, because the last thing conservative Republicans want to do is they don't want to start another, like, welfare system for children from another country.
The president himself could immediately put an end to the practice without legislative action. That is a fact.
Parents can quickly move through to deportation. A child's case for asylum or deportation could take weeks or months, mm-hmm. which means do you contact mom and dad? Do you have a contact for mom and dad? How does a two-year-old tell you where mom and dad? They can't. A 10-year-old probably doesn't. I mean, I remember vaguely that I remember I was 9 years old and I had to call my mom. I did know my phone number.
Right.
But I wasn't in trauma. I mean, I remember my phone number from when I was 9 years old. Don't expect every kid that is in these centers to know how to contact family. This is ridiculous.
You know, the amazing thing about Trump is he drives you crazy. You know, sometimes you really like what he's doing and sometimes you don't like what he's doing. But, you know, when he blows it, when he just just butchers a policy. When he does something wrong, it's so big that it takes weeks for people to get over it. Because I could get behind Trump all day long, at least on North Korea, taxes, you know, that kind of stuff. But when he does something like this, it's such a massive mistake.
It's gross negligence. It's a moral quagmire that he himself has figured out, hey, this is a great idea. This is how I'll get what I want.
Right. But my point is the next time he does something good, it's harder to point that out because he just blew it so bad on this.
Yeah, you're right.
Because when he makes mistakes, and this is a massive mistake, when he makes mistakes, they're gargantuan mistakes.
And the longer this goes on, and the longer or the closer you get to midterms, mm-hmm. I mean, I'm not saying that everybody is not on board with this, but the American people, if you believe the polls and you believe what's on the social media and all that kind of stuff, they do not like this idea. It's not whether you even like it or not. It is a no-brainer. He could fix this tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And the longer he drags his heels,
his supporters don't believe that,
the worse it will be for him politically and the worse it'll be for the Republican Party. And I don't think he gets it because he just wants a wall.
His supporters think it's Obama's law.
Right.
Obama did this before.
Right.
Or this isn't Trump's
fault.
But I
have heard from Trump supporters saying, I support the president or I liked voting for the guy, but when it comes to kids and separating from their family, they're just scratching their heads, too, of I don't get why he's doing it because it's just cruel. It's really cruel.
I think that Trump has done some good things, but I've said it before. He's just morally bankrupt. He doesn't like Mexicans. I mean, that's for sure. You label them murderers and rapists. You call them animals. You can go to a different country where there aren't people with white skin and he can call them an S-hole country.
That's it.
And he did.
He doesn't like people who don't have white skin.
Of course not. But we've said that before.
But it's more than just Mexicans. I mean, it's
okay,
anybody
fair.
From Central America. It's
fair.
Anybody from another country.
He's highlighted victims of immigrant crimes, but we all know every study out there says that immigrants commit crimes at lower rates than the general population.
Yeah.
They still shouldn't be here.
Right.
I get that all day long.
He's so concerned about gangs and crime, but what he's doing is he's setting up another generation of criminals and gang members with these kids.
Could be.
It's unbelievable.
And then they try and sell it by pulling out a Bible verse, which we all know is ridiculous. Jeff Sessions, doing that just makes me crazy. It's just... I think they've been gradually setting the stage for this cruel treatment of immigrants. I really do.
The former ICE director is saying permanent separation, and he says it happens. He also says you don't want the federal government taking care of children.
Oh.
I mean, we've seen before how states handle, children in foster care and, when parents go to prison and the children have to be taken care of. We've talked about that. You really think the feds know how to take care of kids?
They don't have enough
people.
Keep track? They don't have enough people.
No, they don't.
They're not keeping track of it.
And the policy of don't touch, don't comfort, don't give any kind of care to these children.
When they're wailing.
Oh, it is just unbelievable.
It's un-American.
And it's morally bankrupt. And this president has no problem with it. And it's just sad.
No, because he wants to get his wall. And if it means, destroying a couple kids, he's going to do it. And it's really sad because I can tell you good things that Donald Trump has done since being in office. I can, and I have, and I've talked about it. This is brutal. This is barbaric. This is despicable. This is not what we do in America. He doesn't care.
Immigration lawyers have already said that there are many parents who have been deported and they either cannot or somebody will not tell them where their children are or can't tell them where their children are. I mean, this has been happening. We just didn't know it. This has been happening now for so long.
2,000 kids and
that there will be more stories of kids who are just lost.
Yeah.
I mean, that's unbelievable to say that in this country, kids who are lost.
We don't know where to deport the children to. We have no idea,
right?
In many cases, who are the parents of these children?
So parents,
we don't know.
Parents are given a paper slip written in English and Spanish, explaining that they have been charged for the crime for entering the United States. They'll be separated from their child while they're awaiting the court hearing. And if you need further assistance, call this 800 number. Mm. That's it.
I know.
Call the 800 number. Well, if you're from another, I'm sorry, if you're from another country, go to the TSA. Go on a flight. The TSA member says, sir, come over here with me. And then you never see your family again. That's exactly what is going on with these kids. And you ask the TSA member, where's my family? They don't know. They won't tell you. How moral is that? You wouldn't stand for it.
We do not want to become a heartless, ugly country. We want to be tough, and we don't want people sneaking in. I get it. I don't want open borders. I don't want people coming in. But
you don't do it this way.
No, this is heartless. There's no question about it, and I don't think it's going to deter people. All right. We're in the middle of the Big Four at 4. We take the first 20 minutes of the 4 o'clock hour, bring you 4 big blockbuster stories. We've got story 2, 3, and 4 to go.
The Big Four at 4. Big story 2.
The study finds some MCSO deputies gave citations to Latino and Black drivers at higher rates than other deputies in their district. MCSO acknowledges some racial bias continues, but says more research is needed. It also says significant progress has been made since a federal judge found MCSO deputies were racially profiling Latinos during traffic stops.
An Arizona State University study for the Maricopa County Sheriff's Office indicated there may be some racial bias in traffic stops. This is something we're going to talk to Maricopa County Sheriff Paul Penzone about coming up, his exclusive monthly in-studio interview at 5:15. He has said, a statement says Sheriff Penzone takes seriously the findings in this report that MCSO's traffic enforcement activity has led to different outcomes for different racial ethnic groups.
I don't know what to make of this. I'll be honest. Okay. I've heard everything from, and this isn't about Maricopa County particularly, but my brother-in-law, who's in law enforcement in Maryland, and he's not trying to make excuses, do they have a quota? Is there a quota set? Is it that they pull over more, you know, if you want to take a look into the statistics, do they pull over more Black drivers, more Hispanic drivers, more, you know, different disparities? Or are there just minority drivers just don't have great driving skills? I mean, I have no idea what to make of this. I don't want to say that MCSO has a racial problem, though.
White drivers were given 65% of all citations in 2017. Hispanics, 24%. African Americans, about 8%.
Okay, so there's no doubt that they're disproportionate numbers.
Correct.
I just don't know how to explain it.
You're listening to The Big Four at Four.
The Big Four at Four. Big Story 3.
Red for Ed returns to the Arizona Capitol on Saturday. Why?
Wait, I thought everybody was getting paid.
Well, they're going to return for a rally.
Okay.
And we know what happened, you know, a month or two ago. This time, teachers are going to rally to collect signatures for a proposed ballot measure that would bring in somewhere around $700 million in additional education funding by raising income taxes on Arizona's wealthiest residents.
Ah.
I've talked to teachers about this. Some teachers like this measure. Some don't. I hate it. I don't think it'll pass. I don't like dumping everything on just 1% of the public. I don't think that's fair. Arizona doesn't like that.
Red for Ed, I don't think, is going to turn out. We're not going to see the throngs
no
of people
no.
that are going to come out for this because, again, this is political. This isn't about teachers. This is about a political movement now.
Correct.
And I don't know how many teachers are really on board with that. There'll be some. Don't get me wrong.
Mm-hmm.
There'll be some for this, but don't expect 10,000 people down at the state capitol for this.
For the first 20 minutes of the 4 o'clock hour, what we do is we bring you the Big Four at 4, 4 big blockbuster stories.
The Big Four at 4. Big Story 4.
The worry with this 4% increase in summer travelers is what about the lines at security? TSA is telling us they've added 600 officers since the beginning of the year and hope to add 1,000 more to deal with the summer so that the lines continue to move.
All right, so the TSA says come early and prepare. They do that every year. Seems like gas prices go up in the summer.
Yeah.
That happens every year. So it's kind of the same old, same old. Gas prices are up. The TSA says come early. And then you get on United and they kill your dog.
There you go. So there's a potential for longer lines, longer waits. Your children will be separated from you as parents.
Oh!
No, they won't.
No!
No. They won't. No. But you're right. Every summer we hear this, but it's a good thing because people are traveling. They're spending money. The TSA says, pack your patience, come prepared. You may have to wait a little bit longer. Hopefully what we don't see is whole things of, remember the luggage in the parking lots?
Sure.
Hopefully we don't see that kind of mess.
Or we don't see airlines trying to get the TSA as much help as possible because there aren't enough workers.
Right.
That's not what you want either. And I know we got the 4th of July coming up, a lot of people traveling. Is the TSA prepared? They say they're prepared, but I really don't know. Usually I never have a problem at Sky Harbor.
TSA?
Yeah. It's everywhere else.
I agree.
It's everywhere else.
Yeah.
You've been listening to the Big 4 at 4.
The Big 4 at 4 with Mac and Gatos. Get the Big 4 at 4 delivered to your phone. Subscribe to the Mac and Gatos podcast on Google Music or the Apple Podcast app.
All right, coming up next, Trump has met with the GOP about separating children from their families. Did they work anything out? Coming up next.
Mac and Gatos, Arizona's afternoon news, 92.3 FM, KTAR News, 92.3 FM.
So what does the sheriff of Maricopa County think about the policy that separates children from their parents at the border? I mean, we are a border state. Paul Penzone, the Maricopa County Sheriff, will be in studio at about 5:15 or so, right after the 5 o'clock KTAR news expansion, so make sure you're listening for that. Okay, Trump has gotten out of a meeting with a bunch of top House GOP guys on the immigration status of removing children from their families. Is he going to change his mind and go back to being a nice guy when it comes to immigrant children?
Are you being serious?
Oh, boy.
We had a great meeting. These are laws that have been broken for many years, decades, but we had a great meeting. Thank you very much.
What did they talk about? I mean, what was said? What was spoken?
Let me tell you what happened in this meeting.
That's it?
Let me tell you what happened in this meeting. Trump gets together with the House GOP, okay? You know, the Democrats know better. If they were in that meeting, I wouldn't care. Let me tell you what happens at this meeting. They get behind closed doors because the press is outside, right? They get behind closed doors. Have you ever gone up, let's say you get off a plane, right? And you have a reservation to rent a car. And you go up to that desk, right?
Yeah.
And you say, I'm here for my car. Here's my name. And they suddenly realize they've given your car away. They read the reservation they've given away. And the person says, hold on, let me go talk to my supervisor. So they go behind that glass window thing.
Okay.
And you see the supervisor and the guy who just said your car isn't there. And you can't hear what they're doing because they're behind closed doors. Here's what they're saying. What do you want me to do? We screwed up. Yeah, probably nothing. Well, we got to at least talk because the people, you know, the guy outside, he knows that, you know, he can see us talking back and forth. And, you know, what do you think we should do? Well, let's wait a couple of minutes and let's look like, you know, we're actually talking and trying to figure something out, even though we know we can't figure anything out and there isn't a car here. So let's just let's keep going back and forth. So did you go out with the wife last night? I really did. It was fantastic. We had a great dinner. Sushi. And then the guy goes back outside and goes, you know, I just talked to my boss and I just got to tell you this. Can't do anything.
Okay. I mean, I like that idea.
That's what happened.
I keep thinking it's like my 9-year-old.
Oh, this is good. I want to hear this.
Trump is sitting at a table. Paul Ryan and the rest of the GOP from the House guys are surrounding him going, please change your policy. No. 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 If you don't change your policy, there's going to be consequences. No. Please change your policy. No. You got to change the policy. No. I mean, he's just going to dig his heels in but we had a good meeting. What does that even mean? You had a good meeting.
I put it this way. Let me say this even more clearly as I can. I don't think Trump cares about the kids. I don't think the Republicans care about the kids. And I don't think the Democrats care about the kids. And I'll even go further. I think all three of them like what's happening. I know I'm getting to a point. I know you're looking at me weird. Both sides are going to use this to bash each other. If you're a Democrat, what do you see here? You see children being ripped away from their kids.
So I understand that.
If you're a Democrat, you're saying, oh, my goodness, look at how bad Trump's policy is. I'm going to trash him every time I can.
I understand that.
The Democrats don't want to solve it because if they solve it, they can't trash Trump.
I can't believe, though, for a minute the Republicans aren't saying, dude, you are just making this 10 times worse for us by not changing this policy, because there are just certain lines you don't cross, and one of them is with kids. You don't make a victim out of a child for political gain, and I can't imagine that the Republicans aren't pulling their hair out and saying, you're going to ruin it for us during the midterms, the next election. This could be the thing that doesn't get you reelected. You've got to change it. The Democrats, I totally hear you on. You can use that for political fodder all you want, and don't solve the problem, because then the problem goes away.
Well, let me give you the other side now.
But the Republicans have to be saying, you are screwing us over with this policy.
The Republicans don't want to fix it, because I think that they believe this is actually going to be a deterrent to stop illegal immigration. And I think a lot of them think it's a good idea. So I'm bashing both parties.
But you also have to take into consideration the reelection part of it.
Well,
if you are deemed that you supported this horrific decision,
but
that's going to come back to bite you.
What has Trump said? I don't like it. What have the Democrats and Pelosi said? I don't like it. What has Paul Ryan and the Republicans said? I don't want McCain. I don't like it. So they're all on the same page.
But you can't make him change his mind, so you can't tell him to change it.
They're all on the same page. Trump, the Democrats, Republicans, we don't like this plan. But they're not doing anything about it. They're not changing it.
Well, you can't
change. They all agree. They all agree they don't like it, but they're not changing it.
Wait. You're muddying the waters now.
That's what I do.
Yeah.
I'm trying to win an argument with you. Come on.
Trump wants a wall. He doesn't really care about the immigration policies. He wants his wall. Paul Ryan says he doesn't like the decision that Trump has made to remove the children. Nancy Pelosi doesn't like anything that Trump does.
Right.
So Trump is not going to move off of, I want a wall, or I don't change anything. And Paul Ryan's like, we can't make him change. I mean, Paul Ryan's sitting there going, dude, this is horrific for us.
I think if you got everybody in public on both sides of the aisle and the president saying, we agree, this is a bad policy, but yet they don't do anything about it.
They can't do anything about it.
Well, they don't want to do anything about it.
No. They cannot change his mind. They can't enact a law. They can't put the screws to him. We've seen that before. They can't make him do anything about this. So this could go on into next year.
Oh, I don't think this policy
is going to change. He's got to change his mind and then make the right decision. And who knows when that'll be.
Well, it was a great meeting. We're still taking kids away from their parents. Okay.
Right.
All right. I just want to make sure we know where we stand.
All right.
All right. Nothing's changed. Got it. Coming up next, Detour to NS Traffic. And why don't we play Pick Your Poison?
Oh, we haven't done that in a while.
This is where you call in. By the way, we're going to have a little fun. It has nothing to do with Trump or kids and immigration. But we do want you to call if you're a Republican. Republicans only. We've got two unpopular choices. You need to pick the less bad of the two. We'll explain it all, but Pick Your Poison, only Republicans, 602-277-KTAR next.
Arizona's Afternoon News with Mac and Gatos. KTAR News, 92.3 FM. Pick Your Poison. Mac and Gatos.
Little game like the call, Pick Your Poison. So, we've lined up Republicans because we're going to put you in a spot where you've got to make a decision. You've got to pick your poison.
Yeah.
We're going to give you two really unpopular choices.
They're too bad.
They're bad.
Two bad choices.
You've got to pick the less bad of the bad.
Right.
What did Joe Biden used to say?
Bad is not good. Good is good, but bad is not good.
Bad is worse. The worser of the two.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Didn't he say less bad is more good?
Something like that.
All right. So in a second, Republicans, we're going to take your call at 277-KTAR. Here's what we're going to ask you. Who do you like better? And we're going to put two really bad choices in front of you because there is a new poll out that says...
And they're self-identified as Republicans, okay?
Republicans were asked, who do you prefer in terms of favorability?
Yeah.
And let's see, Kim Jong-un got 19% and Nancy Pelosi got 17%.
Mm.
Nancy Pelosi is more unfavorable than Kim Jong-un.
You could say the word is loathed.
Loathed.
She is loathed.
I mean, it's one of those things like, we'll ask you, who do you like better? Who do you like better?
Chris, you're in Gilbert. You're a Republican. Who do you like better, Kim Jong-un or Nancy Pelosi?
Oh, boy. Nancy Pelosi. Why wouldn't Nancy Pelosi?
You're going
Nancy Pelosi. Just get it over with. Nancy Pelosi.
That hurt.
Why?
You could hear how much it hurt. Why?
Can I say I'm a skeptic, Gato?
Sure.
Okay. Oh, I guess that's not really a party. I am officially on paper. I'm a Republican.
But why Nancy Pelosi then?
Well, you know, I mean, I get to listen to her, you know, blowhard, and she's obviously, you know, she's had too much surgery. She
hasn't killed anybody. How about that?
Exactly.
She doesn't have nuclear capabilities.
All right. One vote for Pelosi.
All right, Steve, you're in Phoenix. You're a Republican. Who do you prefer, dictator or Nancy Pelosi?
Well, you know, I'm going to go with that guy also. You got to go with Pelosi just because she's not a murdering dictator, but
there is
she's
that.
Pretty bad. But I think it's funny. I just wanted to say, I think it's funny that you guys think that the Democrats really care about the 2,000 kids down there playing video games. You know, I really think that...
Playing video games?
It's
they got Xboxes down there?
Are you talking about the separated kids?
Separated kids down
in the detention center?
Yeah, I just said they don't care.
We already went through
that. You got to listen better. Yeah. Republicans don't care. The Democrats don't care that the kids are being taken away from their family. All right, back to this, Mac. Here we go.
All right,
pick your poison. Let me give the stat again. 19% of Republicans have a more favorable view of Kim Jong-un than Nancy Pelosi. So we're just asking you, as a Republican, who do you like best?
John, who do you like?
Unfortunately, Nancy Pelosi.
I am shocked
now,
by this.
Now, see, are you saying Nancy Pelosi because you know it's unpopular, but you really do like Kim Jong-un better? Are you just saying it?
No. Given the choice of, like, someone that's pointing a nuclear bomb at me, I'll go with Nancy Pelosi.
I'd rather have a nuclear bomb pointed at me than her mouth. I can't stand her. I can't stand her, Mac. You know she drives me crazy.
There's a joke in there somewhere, but I'm not going to do it. Bill, you're on the I-10. You're a Republican. Who do you like better,
Un or Pelosi?
These other guys are a little bit a few sandwiches shy of a picnic. This guy's a nutcase.
Yep.
But I would choose him any day of the week and twice on Sunday over that evil, vile Nancy Pelosi.
Okay. I can believe that.
I don't believe the first three callers that said Pelosi. You?
Not really.
Here's another question. Answer this one. Who would you rather have lunch with? I totally have lunch with Kim Jong-un because he's just more interesting. I know he's a murderous dictator. He's disgusting.
But you might not be able to return to your family, though. I would have Nancy Pelosi because I could outrun her. I could outshoot her. I could get away from her. Now, Kim Jong-un would have you. The dogs would rip you apart.
If Kim Jong-un tried to hit me, he hit my knee. Okay.
He could disable you, maybe.
No, he could not disable
maybe, me. Maybe. I don't know. He'd get Dennis Rodman to take you down.
19% of Republicans have indicated they have a more favorable view of Kim Jong-un.
Wow.
19-17% over Nancy Pelosi.
Mm-hmm.
All right. We've got Sheriff Paul Penzone headed to the studio. What does he think of the policy that separates children from their parents at the border? It's all coming up. 5:15. Stick around.